This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Houthi fighters from Yemen have been attacking commercial cargo ships and oil tankers in the Red Sea in an attempt to thwart Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza. In response, the United States and United Kingdom launched airstrikes against Yemen last Friday, seemingly in support of Israeli genocide, risking a wider regional war. We turn to Isa Bloomi, docent and associate professor of Turkish and Middle Eastern Studies at Stockholm University at the Department of Asian and Middle Eastern Studies. His books include Destroying Yemen, What Chaos in Arabia Tells Us About the World. Welcome to the program, Isa.
Thank you very much for having me on, Sonali.
So what have Yemen's Houthi fighters actually said about these attacks on the oil tankers in the Red Sea? If you read the Western press, they don't really want to focus on that justification and the explanation for those attacks.
The broad coalition that is referred to, they call themselves Ansar Allah. The reference to Houthi is entirely an external point of reference. We have to clarify there. This is not an isolated group who commandeers the resources of largely, we're speaking about northern Yemen these days, who have the capacity to deliver domestically engineered ballistic missiles, anti-ship missiles, and drones. And they've demonstrated this ability to use this kind of low cost aerial warfare against a coalition of countries that have been waging war on this region of northern Yemen since 2015. And the extension of this campaign against the suppression of large swaths of Yemeni population included partners in this campaign of availing, allowing for Israel to continue their horrific crimes in Gaza, which is the pretext to Ansar Allah's intervention in one of the only ways they can. They did fire ballistic missiles towards Eilat, the port, the Red Sea port of Israel, for the most part, not really hitting their mark. On occasion, there seems to have been some successful breaching of the defenses that Saudi Arabia, America, and Israel have put up to protect the airspace of Israel from such attacks. But that was their initial, let's say, intervention, an outcry to the crimes committed against the indigenous population of Palestine that goes back many, many decades, in fact. I highlight in my book that from their entrance into the United Nations in 47, 48, northern Yemen has long remained often a very isolated voice against Zionism and the colonialist project in Palestine. So this stems back for already now multiple generations. This solidarity is extended now to actually direct action, since neighboring countries has long demonstrated their inability or unwillingness to actually challenge the, let's say, the interested parties who protect Israel and allow them to continue their crimes against Palestinians that predates October 7th, we have to highlight to your audience. But this latest campaign in Gaza, this overt and very public promise of expelling the large majority of the population into the sea, so to speak, has led to this response, which has been very explicit from day one. And this is where Western media demonstrates its propagandistic role in promoting the Zionist project. They do not report what explicitly Ansar Allah has said, that we are targeting ships that are directly owned by Israeli-based companies or those that are servicing the Israeli economy, who are delivering goods and services to Israel. And this is their means of protecting, of showing solidarity, and indeed, as they sometimes argue, enforcing international law, which international law, according to many, demands that sovereign states and responsible parties intervene to stop genocide. And this is precisely what they said they are doing. And no other ships face this campaign other than those that are flying the Israeli flag or that are registered registered as and owned by affiliates to Israeli companies or that are delivering goods to Israel's ports. Now, what the Americans and its very, let's say, haphazard coalition of partners that was initially declared weeks before this campaign has officially started against Ansar Allah's resources, has blurred this important distinction that Ansar Allah has made clear. And indeed, many hundreds of ships continued until the latest barrage of Tomahawk missile attacks and the use of airplanes to bomb northern Yemeni sites, as you alluded to, ships have continued to pass through the Red Sea, as long as, they do not do business with Israel.
So, the
irony
attacks are very targeted, you're saying. The Houthi attacks are very targeted.
That's,
they have a
yes.
very
yeah.
overt political goal. And, of course, the U.S. press, the Western press, in reporting the U.S. airstrikes, have labeled the Houthis Iranian-backed, which is is almost an indication of some sort of giant hint for American audiences who may not really be going to the source of why Houthis are attacking these ships. It almost seems as though the U.S. is just sort of in isolation attacking an Iranian-backed militia because they're backed by Iran and that it has nothing to do with Gaza.
Well, this is precisely the point, is to deflect people's attention away from what's happening in Gaza, which the mass murder continues, as we talk about Ansar Allah's very principled response. I mean, this is what they claim is their moral, it's morally required of all law-abiding peoples to intervene and stop genocide. This is what we've been taught since World War II, is that, you know, never again. And here we are, we're faced with a very overt campaign. It's well documented. It's splashed across the world's screens. And here we are with countries sitting on the sidelines or directly intervening to protect the perpetrators of genocide from persecution. And this is what the American coalition right now is effectively trying to do, is deflect the attention towards a false equation, where in fact they're dealing with the common problem of Iranian intervention in the larger region. This has long been a claim made by pundits supporting Israel's right to defend itself, is that in fact they're fighting Iran. And this, again, echoes very nicely to an American audience, but it doesn't reflect the realities on the ground. Once again, we have to highlight that from day one, they made it very clear that they're not attacking international shipping. And indeed, many ships understood and appreciated that and continued to send their ships to the Suez Canal, conducting their business to the Mediterranean via the Red Sea. What has effectively happened, ironically, or perhaps not ironically, is with the American and British actions now, they have actually declared that the Red Sea is a now open military zone and no ship should flow through until further notice. And indeed, that's what we've begun to see, that de facto the Americans are the ones who have stopped international traffic to pass through the Red Sea, not just Israeli associated ships or companies, but indeed all major shipping companies have now decided to go around southern Africa, extending the trip and the cost of such trips from Asia to Europe by some 10 to 14 days, depending on who's counting. And on top of that, the insurance companies are getting a significant boost in revenues because they're charging these shipping companies significant amounts of money on the basis that shipping in the entire Western Indian Ocean is now vulnerable to Iranian-backed and I'm saying this with irony, Iranian-backed pirates. They often refer to these actions as piracy, where in fact it's the Americans who have acted as pirates on a regular basis, confiscating Iranian ships around the world over the last couple of years. That has been sometimes reported in the Western media as a celebrated action against Iranian belligerents. But in this case, as it was throughout the last almost now 8 years, this war leveled against northern Yemen, backed by the United Nations, we have to highlight, backed by China and Russia, by extension, by actually not vetoing the United Nations proposal to install a recognized government that's full of puppets and apologists for IMF economic policies. So more or less my conclusions in my book that you mentioned in the introduction. But that campaign has long been justified by this equation that those who have organized themselves in resistance in largely northern Yemen, which constitutes over 80% of the population, are Iranian-backed, where in fact they're entirely indigenous. They have a history that goes back to even before World War II to resisting such kinds of global economic capitalist imperialist forces. And there's no reason for us to continue to see them acting accordingly. And one has to just look at some of these images, these remarkable parades of 2 to 3 million people flying Palestinian flags, flying and making reference to other global struggles against the very same forces that are waging war in Yemen at the moment, the ones who are supporting, by extension, Zionist project in Gaza and in larger Palestine. The fact that we are being distracted and actually have to constantly repeat our challenge to this narrative that the so-called Houthis, the Ansar Allah, is simply a tool of the Iranians, belittles and undermines the very principled response that Yemenis have demonstrated over and over again over the decades, in specifically to the Palestinian issue.
I want to just quote Representative Hank Johnson here in the United States, who posted on social media, "I have what some may consider a dumb idea, but here it is. Stop the bombing of Gaza, then the attacks on commercial shipping will end. Why not try that approach?" And, you know, it seems the sort of obvious thing. And he's one lawmaker in the United States. But no matter how many people speak out, even within Congress, they still remain a minority, right? And this political stranglehold that Israel has seemingly over the United States and the UK apparently seems to supersede commercial interests, U.S. interests. Just kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is quite a remarkable period that we're facing. This very overt challenge to principled people, actors, whether they're in politics or popular culture or a number of sectors of our societies, that they really are faced with a choice. And clearly the political class, the political elite in both the Democratic and the Republican parties in the United States are incapable of stepping across this and out of fear of touching the third rail of being accused of being anti-Semitic or Israeli. And the results are devastating for the peoples in the larger region. We have to highlight, however, that regimes from Egypt to Jordan to Saudi Arabia and the Gulf countries are in their own rights also responsible for the direction in which this campaign against Palestinians over the last 70 years have continued to be, and increasingly now with under Netanyahu's new government, which has been very public about its racism towards Palestinians, its willingness to use state power to literally expel and, if necessary, murder in large amounts the inhabitants of people who are already been forced as refugees into what we call today Gaza. And this takes us back again to Yemeni, principled Yemeni resistance to all this. And they have long declared as a political, as a part of their political campaign in the larger, and how they see their place in the world is to actually reverse the very structures that have allowed for the occupation of Palestine, the desecration of not only Islam and Christianity, but many would argue even Judaism and its now insidious connection to a 19th century racist apartheid ideology called Zionism. And many Jews will make that point very clear that we're not associated with Zionism. And the idea that you can actually now pick and choose the terminology you wish to use in the United States and Western media in general, and say that all commercial shipping has been threatened by this public gestures, so these public moves, is just a distortion of what people in the global South have long been saying. They're not advocating mass murder of anyone, even if they're associated with the Israeli society that has emerged over the last 70 some years. And they certainly are not interested in destroying the economic viability of national economies around the world. But they do see that they don't have much leverage other than actually uprooting and disturbing the economic components of the Zionist project.
Isa, in the last few minutes of our conversation, how can you make any prediction, if you will, not just about whether US-UK strikes will continue against Yemeni Houthis, but if also you think or worry that they could spark a wider regional war? I mean, it's pretty dangerous for the US and UK to be doing this, right?
Absolutely. And the very fact that they have forced, by way of the logistics of this campaign, both Saudi Arabia and the UAE and Qatar, so three major actors in the war on Yemen since 2015, have once again been highlighted in international media, especially in the, let's say, Arabic language press. These countries are also implicated not only in supporting the Israelis indirectly, but now being responsible for this campaign against Yemen. And Ansarullah is becoming increasingly popular inside Yemeni context. They did have rivals, but increasingly it's become politically it's not smart politically to simply continue your campaign against the so-called Houthis in the Yemeni context. And so we could very well see the war expanding into taking out Saudi, UAE, Qatari assets as well, because they're directly responsible for the reloading of these planes, the surveillance that is necessary to identify targets. So in many ways, they are a direct partner in this coalition against Ansarullah, against Yemen, and by extension, in continuing the massacres in Gaza. And so that could lead to Ansarullah actually making the logical conclusion that if we're going to actually succeed in our campaign to change the actions of Israel, that maybe we have to actually direct our attention at neighbors to the north. So this is I'm not saying a prediction per se, but this is where it could possibly go. And whether or not the United States, those who are running the campaign as we speak, are aware of this, or I'm sure they are aware of this contingency, this possible contingency. But it could have consequences that nobody actually can anticipate.
Right.
Just like campaign in Gaza itself has led to contingencies that I'm pretty sure those who are leading the campaign in Gaza on behalf of Israel and those who support Israel in the United States were not fully appreciative of the fact that there is resistance. And these military campaigns can go wrong. And I think some American ship, if one American ship gets hit with one of those missiles, which they are now justifiably now targets because of their actions against Ansarullah, that could change rapidly the dynamics of not only regional politics, but also domestic politics in the United States, one would hope.
Isa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time and your insight into these issues.
Well, thank you for your interest in this regional issue. So all the best to your listeners.
Thank you. My guest has been Isa Blumi, docent and associate professor of Turkish and Middle Eastern Studies at Stockholm University within the Department of Asian and Middle Eastern Studies. His books include Destroying Yemen, What Chaos in Arabia Tells Us About the World. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.